Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. All right, taking a look at some college football because we're going to have a big night when the committee releases its first four playoff teams and the rest of their rankings. And the reason I say it's big is because we get to argue and fight about this all the way to the end of the season. Ben Kercheval joins us from Bleacher Report to help us talk some college football. How are you, Ben?
I'm good, man. I'm ready to get these rankings going. I'm ready to start some conversation.
That's what I was saying, right? These are really fun, and they last all the way through to the end of the season. We'll complain about them even when we get to the playoff. What do you expect on Tuesday? I mean, when you settle in, just guessing out of the box, what do you think will be the most important criteria when they try to sort out where we are right now?
Well, it's funny you say that because you've got such an eclectic mix at the top. You've got teams like Clemson and Baylor, who the strength of schedule overall hasn't maybe been that impressive. Certainly Clemson has the win over Notre Dame, but overall it's been, I guess, I don't want to call it weak, but it certainly hasn't been like some of the other strength of schedules have been around the country. But you know, then you got teams like LSU. I think even you could say Stanford's kind of creeping into the conversation, even though they have that week one loss to Northwestern. They've been very, very good throughout the rest of the year. Notre Dame's schedule just got a boost with that win over Temple, of all things. So I think you want to see some valuation of that, but I think at the same time, you want to just look at them and kind of see, you know, who's been, you know, looking impressive. I mean, Michigan State has really struggled through, you know, a large part of the season. Where do they end up? Or are they anywhere near the top four, given the fact that throughout a lot of the season, they really just haven't been able to put away teams and, you know, got a win over Michigan that happened on just one heck of a fluke play. So it's going to be interesting, but I would suspect that strength of schedule has some sense to do with it. So I would figure that LSU is probably somewhere near the top with that win over Florida. I think Clemson with that quality win over Notre Dame is probably somewhere in that top four. So I would guess, based on kind of on that criteria, I would guess that you would see those teams kind of somewhere near the top. I think it'll be interesting to see sort of where Baylor lies. Their strength of schedule is going to be on the back end in that month of November, but they've looked arguably as impressive as any team in college football, beating teams by about, you know, 36, 35 points a game. So, you know, are they somewhere in that top four, or are they still kind of creeping in that 5-6 spot trying to get into the top four? But, you know, like I said, their toughest games are going to be coming up here in earnest.
I know it will be just seeding, but because of the strength of schedule argument, is it possible that we may see Ohio State not the number one team tomorrow by the committee?
That's a great question. It's been kind of a tough go for them. I don't know that they will be number one. They up until recently, they haven't really looked like the number one team. I think the addition of JT Barrett, when they injected him into that starting role, really kind of propelled them forward. But you know, now he's going to miss that Minnesota game. He's suspended for a game because of his off the field incident. So we're going to see here Cardale Jones coming up here in a week or so. See how he plays. But again, strength of schedule hasn't been all that hard for Ohio State yet. Haven't really looked the part. So I'm not sure that they're going to be number one. I do think that they will fall somewhere in that top four because whether it's the committee or, you know, the AP or the coaches poll, we've had a really hard time letting go of Ohio State. We know what they're capable of. We know what it looks like when Ohio State is clicking on all cylinders. We just haven't quite seen that end of year run like we saw last year. So I think everyone's kind of collectively waiting on Ohio State to just turn that proverbial corner and finally that light to turn on for them, and it just hasn't happened. So I don't know that we'll see them number one, but I do think you will see them in that top four.
Based on how this committee will rank the other teams outside, so that we get an idea of where they're putting teams, you know, as we progress through the final weeks of the season, are those rankings something that we can take and gain anything out of? Or do we expect the same kind of thing last year where it's like, no, the slate is clean every week. Don't even worry about how teams rise and fall on this.
Yeah, it's when you're starting off right away, it's kind of hard to tell exactly how they're going to do. And remember, the thing about the college football playoff and with the selection committee, and this is this can't be stated enough. There's not a formula, Tony. There's not a BCS formula to this. There's not something that you can punch in and say, this is exactly how we calculate it's going to be. You're just going off of what now is 12 people, now that Pat Hayden is he's got some health problems. We've got 12 people who are just trying to figure out how they're going to do. And we're two-thirds of the way through the season. So not everyone's toughest games have happened yet, or schedules are incomplete. So I don't know that you can look back on last year and say definitively it's going to replicate that it's going to look like what it was in 2014, because there's just not a specific criteria that that is weighed more than the other. We know last year at the end of the year that conference champions, and even though they won't admit it, name brands really ended up being the kind of the final four. We don't know if that's going to be the case this year. So I you can go into tomorrow's rankings and say, we don't have any idea how it's going to turn out. You just kind of have to look, and then we got to be able just to understand that in 2, 3, 4 weeks, it could look entirely different. So tomorrow will be interesting because it's the very first of this year, but I just would not put a lot of stock into it just yet. I mean, we're going to find out in soon enough time. We're going to find out exactly what's being weighed. So it'll be interesting tomorrow for conversation standpoint. Wouldn't put much into it beyond that.
Yeah, because last year, you're right about that formula thing, because even last year when they knocked Baylor and TCU out and put in Ohio State, they kind of went off and had these explanations, and there was some of us who said, you really don't even have to explain. I mean, we all agreed that you guys would tell us what four teams were in. You don't have to explain why you have put these four teams the way you want them. We all agreed to this system.
Yeah, and the thing is the explanation seems to kind of change on a weekly basis. I don't know that anybody really knew exactly. There was this whole thing last year, Tony, where what was it? It was something like game management. It was some weird arbitrary term that nobody really understood. Like game management was somehow, this thing that people talked about for weeks on end, and nobody really knew what it was. So tomorrow they'll release the rankings. It'll be fun to talk about, but just be like, all right, November's coming up. Alabama still has to play LSU. Stanford still has to play Notre Dame. Baylor still has to play TCU. For as much controversy and discussion as this whole thing ignites, in a lot of ways, it works itself out. The whole thing it'll all sort of develop here. We might argue over a spot, but generally speaking, it's not like all four spots are going to be up for grabs. So I think you just have to, you got to temper it a little bit and just let the process work out.
We may have a situation, Ben, and we're talking to Ben Kirchival, Bleacher Report. We may have an issue, Ben, with the Pac-12. Their champion could have two losses, but if it's a good conference, that can be almost excused. Do you think the Pac-12's conference has merit enough that a two-loss champion could still say, we're one of the top four teams in the country?
Well, you have to see how the landscape works. I tell you, Stanford survived Washington State last weekend, and they needed kind of a college kicker's moment to do it. They Washington State missed that field goal, and Stanford survived. But that's tough. I kind of knew going into that weekend that would be tough for Stanford. Road game. Washington State had been playing really well. Forget for a moment that Portland State loss at the beginning of the year. Wazoo had been playing really well. Now Stanford, with Oregon dipping a little bit, you got the target on your back, probably playing the best football of anybody in that conference. You're going to get to the point in the season where there's going to be some surviving and advancing. It's not always going to be pretty. You're not always going to beat teams by double digits. But I still think that Stanford, in some ways, replicates Ohio State last year, not necessarily in pure talent, but in that they seem to get better as the year goes along. And as long as Christian McCaffrey's out there, averaging 200 all-purpose yards a game, I can see Stanford honestly as winning out the rest of the year. They have an advantageous schedule. They play Cal, play Oregon, play Notre Dame. They get them all at home. So it sets up very well for them. So if there is a two-loss Pac-12 champion, I think it just depends on the rest of the landscape. But I could see Stanford being a one-loss team at the end of the year, given the way that they're playing. But if you want to talk about two-loss teams, Tony, don't overlook Ole Miss if they win out.
Yes, good point.
Yeah, they don't overlook them if they look out, or excuse me, don't overlook them if they win out, I should say. They could be in the situation where they are a two-loss SEC champion, and then at that point, not only is it about does the SEC get into the playoff, it's what do you do with Memphis if they're undefeated? They will have that head-to-head win over Ole Miss, and it's not some fluke, Tony. They beat them handedly.
You know, and that's a great point, because we've been trying to dissect Memphis. We were looking at Memphis and saying, all right, look, if they were to run the table, and this was before Temple lost to Notre Dame, but if they had run the table, you're talking about beating a Temple team, an Ole Miss team, you're talking about beating a Houston team. All of a sudden, you have this American Athletic Conference team that you have to really start taking seriously, right?
Oh, absolutely. The top of the American Athletic Conference, even though it's what they consider to be a group of five conference, it's not bad. It's not
yeah,
a bad
right.
conference. The top of that conference is very good. You've got, like you said, you've got Temple, who, despite their loss to Notre Dame, they're still a top 25 team, and they deserve to be there because they played very, very well. Temple, they have nothing to be ashamed of with that Notre Dame loss.
Absolutely.
They gave Notre Dame everything that they could handle for about 58 minutes. They did a really great job. So you've got to play them. Like you said, you've got to play Houston. Then you'll have a conference championship game. Might even be against Temple again. I mean, so there are a number of games that Memphis still has to play. People are going to want to concentrate on that Ole Miss game, and they should, because that's the key non-conference win. And when we talk about those mid-major programs going undefeated, you know, should they be involved in the national championship or playoff discussion, you want that big non-conference win, and that would be Ole Miss. And as long as Ole Miss keeps winning, Memphis is going to be a fan of the Rebels because that makes them look better. But you could say that for 3 weeks or so, that stretch in November is actually tougher. Even though that win against Ole Miss was against an SEC opponent, they have a tougher stretch in November playing Houston, playing Temple. They still have to, they have to play Navy too. They are a one-loss team. So there are all these things that Memphis has to overcome that resume-wise, you look at it and you say, you know, that's not a cupcake. I mean, it may not have started very strong, but you go down the stretch of the season, Memphis could have a very good resume if they go undefeated. So I think the American Conference at this point, with Temple losing to Notre Dame, you putting all your eggs in that basket and saying, if Memphis goes undefeated, they're not just some pipe dream. They're going to be in that final 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 conversation, absolutely, without a doubt in my mind, because you watch them, they play great football, great offense with Paxton Lynch. This is not some, you know, Marshall like last year. They are a good team that has played a good schedule.
Ben Kirchwell, Bleacher Report, great stuff as always. I really appreciate your time tonight, my friend.
All right, thanks, Tony. Take care, buddy.
You got it, man. We're going to be waiting on that conference, the playoff committee, and their rankings coming up. And I'm really curious about Ohio State, because when you look at Ohio State, I like the Buckeyes, and I know they're really talented. And I think a lot of what their initial love at the beginning of the season was because they won a national championship, but also because they were loaded and everybody knew it. And I think that had a lot to do with them coming into this season as number one. You're coming back as the defending champs. You're bringing a lot of people back. You're extremely talented. But if we're going to talk about strength of schedule, then the Buckeyes aren't a number one team. If we are going to talk about looking the part, then Ohio State isn't a number one team. I'm not saying they're 10th. I'm not saying they're 7th. I'm just saying I don't know if they're number one based on certain criteria that the committee may look at. Then again, the committee may go, hey, you know what? We like Ohio State for all the reasons we did at the beginning of the season. National champs, and they haven't done anything to lose that number one ranking, even though at times we've scratched our heads a little bit at them. But otherwise, they're as loaded as we thought they were, and they're the national champs, so they get the number one ranking. Maybe that's the case. But there are so many scenarios here that I'm really looking forward to seeing how they'll play out. And again, he's right. Most of the stuff gets washed out, and we end up not having these kind of scenarios. But watch out for the SEC, because Alabama and LSU are playing on Saturday. And it is something Adam and I have talked about a couple of times. If Alabama wins that game and wins it close, like just like these games that have gone 9-6 or, you know, 15-12, those kind of things. If LSU leaves Tuscaloosa barely losing to Alabama but runs the table, they won't go to Atlanta. They'll have that one loss on their resume. They will sit pretty with one loss while Alabama goes to Atlanta to play for the SEC championship. And if they win that, then Alabama's getting in. If LSU has one loss, do they get in? So there's a lot of different things that can play out here. A Pac-12, a two-loss Pac-12 team. Does the ACC team get if Clemson and Florida State beat each other up and Clemson loses again? Does the ACC even get a team in? And what do you do with Memphis? Because if Memphis does run the table, heck, if Houston runs the table, but with Ole Miss on Memphis's slate, that's a lot better than Houston's win over Vanderbilt. But if Memphis runs the table with that Ole Miss victory, are we going to put an American Athletic Conference team in the playoffs? We better. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number if you want to join us tonight. A lot to get to, including Monday Night Football, Yahoo Sports Radio.